In this episode of Tim Talk, we'll get to know the members of the Northern Light Health Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Council.
Greetings, one and all. I'm Tim Dentry, President and CEO of Northern Light Health. I am thrilled to have you join us for kind of a different twist on Tim Talk. This week, we will have a panel discussion of four guests, and they're more than guests. They are colleagues and they're close associates on our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Council. This is a dynamic, diverse, and talented group of individuals who are behind all the hard work that is happening around our diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, a critical part of our culture of caring. I'll introduce each of them, and then we'll talk. First, Dr. Olamide Shobowale, an OBGYN physician and system medical director for the Northern Light Women's Health Service Line, and also, as a matter of fact, a return guest, as she was on the very first podcast that we had. Thank you for being here, Dr. Shobowale.
Thanks, Tim, for having me.
Next is Emily Tolman, who, after a successful career in nursing and nurse management, is now the Northern Light Health Director of Health Equity and Access. So happy to have you with us, Emily.
Thank you, Tim.
Next is Mia Dubois, who also came up through the ranks of nursing and is now the Associate Vice President of Patient Experience for Northern Light Health. Welcome, Mia.
Thank you, Tim. Thrilled to be here.
Our fourth member of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Council, by the way, of which there are 20 members, and another return guest from season one, and I would say the fourth of the four people I'm introducing today as someone that I deeply trust and admire and respect, all four. The fourth person is Melissa Scahan, Vice President of Mission Integration at Northern Light Mercy Hospital. Thank you for joining us, Melissa.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you, one and all. So to start, I think it would be great if we could go around the virtual room here and have you share with our audience a little bit about your backgrounds, and perhaps you could share with us why you were a member of this Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Council, and how this work inspires you. Dr. Shobowale, let's start with you, and if all of you could keep in mind answering this question, what do you want our listeners to really know?
Well, thank you for that lovely introduction, Tim. I'll start by saying, so I'm Olamide Shobowale, and my background is I'm Nigerian by birth, and I've lived in a couple of different countries, Canada and now in the U.S., as well as England. And I got my first job out of residency, actually in Maine. And I thought I wouldn't be here very long. And here I am, bought a house this past summer, and here I am. And in this course of being part of Eastern Maine Medical Center, which is where I work in my practice there, I had the opportunity of becoming a member of the Diversity and Equity and Inclusion Advisory Council. And to be honest, when I was asked if I wanted to be part of it, I was a little bit skeptical. I didn't really feel like I needed to be part of the council. I didn't really think that necessarily it would be very effective, to be honest. I had my own preconceived notions of what this council was going to be. But one of my mottos in life is you don't get to complain about things and then not do anything about it. So if you want to complain, you have to put in some effort too. So I said, all right, I'm on this. I'll get on the council. Let's see what this is all about. And honestly, I've been really, really impressed and really happy with what we've done in the council. And I think the biggest thing that I would take from the council that I always tell my colleagues and people who ask, what do you even do on that thing? Or like, who is on it and why do you guys meet? Is one thing that you said when we first started, Tim, and that was that we are not just people to sit around in a meeting and talk about things, but we're here to make a difference and we're here to actually affect change. So if you have an idea, if you have, you know, input, then please, you know, bring it forward. That we're all here on an equal footing as people with different backgrounds, different genders, different experiences, and we all need to be respectful of those experiences, but also try and make Northern Light as a system, inclusive and welcoming to people. So I think we've done a lot of actually good movement with this council, and I'm very proud to be part of it. So that's my little story.
Terrific. Thank you, Dr. Jawali.
No
problem. Emily, please.
Yes. Good afternoon. So I've had the great pleasure of working at Northern Light for over 20 years in various roles, from bedside nursing to leadership roles to educational roles. And one consistent theme that resonates with me is the ability for patients and families to receive care. And when I think about that, I think about they need to receive care when they need it, how they need it, without any barriers being present. And throughout the themes, through my journey in nursing career and management experience, is access, opportunities, and resources must be available to achieve one's highest priority of health. And that's not always given to patients. I'm that advocate to make sure that, you know, we are looking at every patient, every community. My current role has allowed me to look at that and look at developing targeted outreach, strategy, and education surrounding this. I'm one of the newest members of the DEI Council. I joined the council in late October, and I was thrilled because I was going to be able to have the ability to collaborate and discuss how social needs, physical environment, health behaviors all influence health equity and health outcomes. With this role and my passion, I am hoping, along with this council, that we'll be able to discuss some of these issues. Health equity and access is about making a community difference by truly being involved.
Thank you, Emily. Mia.
Thank you. So when I look back at my professional career and what's brought me to being here at Northern Light, one thing that's been consistent is that I've always had a passion for helping others become their best version of themselves. So at times that's been assisting the direct care provider, you know, through their growth and development. Sometimes it's been process improvement work. But that's always been a driving factor for me, is to really help others become their best selves. And I also have a passion for purpose-driven process improvement. I love process improvement work and really getting down to the grassroots of problem solving together with others. As a first-generation American, I grew up seeing struggles of my parents as they acclimated to American culture. Both of my parents immigrated to America from Finland as young adults. My mother has a very strong accent. It's very clear that she is from away, and she's very tightly tied to her culture and her Finnish community. My father, however, has worked very hard to fit in to this culture, and I never really gave it much thought growing up. It wasn't until I was an adult when we were having a conversation and somebody asked why my sisters and I never learned the Finnish language. And I hadn't really thought much about that either, but my father was very passionate with his answer. And he shared the bullying that he experienced as a young adult with having broken English as a young boy, and how many physical altercations he had to endure because of English not being his first language. And it was because of that that he said he will never let his children speak that language outside of the home, which was eye-opening, because as a child, I was like, what? I couldn't believe that was actually occurring. But it was very much true for him. So that really motivated me, and it changed my my perceptions, and it really made me want to join this group. I know that we at Northern Light are on a journey of inclusion, and that was the journey that I definitely wanted to be a part of. So hopefully that does not happen to other community members. When I think on your question, Tim, about what do we want our listeners to know, for me, it's really to know to ask the hard questions and be ready to listen to the answers. So it's really about having the courage to ask and then listening with an open heart and open ears.
Thank you. Thank you. Melissa.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been at Mercy for 15 years. So over that time, I've had the privilege of working very closely with the new Mainers population in Maine, people from all over the world. And I think one of the things that I'm so mindful of is that continuous learning. There does not seem to be periods of time at Mercy where I'm not constantly learning about new cultures, about new healthcare needs, about new traditions, and about new desires from within the community that we both encounter. You know, I am also in awe of the resiliency of the human spirit. When I think of the stories associated with many of the people that I have the privilege to serve, it's amazing that they are standing before you. You know, I always think of the work of Northern Light Health and the work of Northern Light Mercy in Portland as a deep-seated commitment to make it better, whether it is healthcare or other aspects of the systems that interface with New Mainers. I also think it's so important that we continue to ask ourselves, as Maine continues to get more diverse, that we can be sure that everybody who crosses the Northern Light threshold is welcome and feels welcome, and everything that they experience elevates their healthcare and positively influences their life, and that we hold ourselves to that truth. Had, you know, wonderful opportunity. I continue to learn each and every day and look forward to continued growth and development within the New Mainer community within Northern Light Health.
Thank you, Melissa. That's terrific. And thank you, all four of you. You know, one of the personal values and benefits I always get, and I just so much look forward to not only these talks, but for our listeners, right after this, we get into our DEI Council meeting, and we have a full agenda, and a lot more people will join us, and we'll get some more work done along these lines. But I always think, wow, if we did not have an open-mindedness, a curiosity to learn about other people's stories, an openness to listen, engage, and find joy in other people's stories, what a loss, what a deficit that is, you know? And especially, I know all of us look through the lens, the COVID lens, in different degrees of thickness of that lens, but it's changed so much. And I hope that it has changed a lot of people so much that they realize there's so much beauty and value in other people's stories. And you can just feel so much more reassured as a human being and taking the time to listen. So thank you for sharing that. I now have a question for each of you. It's a slightly different question. So we'll go around the room again. Let me start. We'll start, Emily, with you. This is about the work of the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Council, understanding that our audience might not be familiar, most likely is not as familiar with the inner workings of the council. So our audience, I think, could benefit from hearing, Emily, a broad overview of the group, the council, and its work.
Thank you, Tim. I would love to give an overview of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Council. There are internal and external membership comprised of frontline staff, care providers, and leaders. This council fosters actions, creating an inclusive work and community environment for all. One of the key takeaways that I've taken from this council from day one is Tim has always instilled in the council that this is a safe place for uncomfortable conversations to become comfortable. And I think every time that we have these council meetings, that's always at the forefront of the council members. So I really enjoy that piece of this council and how important it is to all of us. We look at creating and implementing diversity inclusion strategies amongst our healthcare system and also working with community partnerships. We also discuss, identify, and address any emerging issues that impact culture surrounding diversity inclusion. And most importantly, we're looking at our education and onboarding of our staff around diversity, equity, inclusion, making sure that everybody is educated, and look at policies and procedures to make sure that we are instilling our mission and values around DEI.
Very good. Thank you, Emily. That's a great overview. And one of the specific areas, so this question will be for Dr. Shobowale, a policy change that was spearheaded by the DEI Council was the provider anti-discrimination policy that you had a lot of input on, Dr. Shobowale. Obviously, we followed your lead on that significantly. Could you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So this is one of the policies that came out actually early on from the council. And I think it was actually early of last year when it got finalized and then put into the system. And this policy basically stemmed out of a lot of concern from our employees about discrimination that's directed to them, whether it's because of their gender, race, religion, or any other difference, I guess, between them and a patient. And we thought that that was a really good jumping point, or a really good starting point anyway, to work on in the council. And we really reviewed, which was really nice. We took it in a staged fashion. We reviewed what we wanted the purpose of this policy to be, how it will be put into effect. And what I really like about the policy is there's an appendix that actually gives some sentences or talking points on how you would go about maybe de-escalating a situation with a patient, or even approaching the staff members that were in that situation. Because sometimes it's maybe if it's about race, or let's just say it's about race, that people feel uncomfortable addressing that provider to say, you know, this patient is asking for another provider because you're Black or because you're brown or whatever it is. So there are talking points that are included in this policy. And I think that's actually a really, really nice point, part of the policy, not just saying, here, we want you to make sure you protect, you know, our employees from this kind of discrimination, and it lists all the different types, but also how do we do that? And how do we go about de-escalating it for the patient? How do we go about trying to talk with the patient to let them understand that within Northern Lights, this is what we stand for, and this is what we want to emulate for our community, for whether it's a patient or it's an employee, we are going to, you know, protect that whatever perceived difference is seen, because we want everybody to feel like they can come and get taken care of and be respected. That policy was put into effect, and it was made even to be quite specific, which I also really liked, because I think when you leave too much generalities and policies, people can kind of take the liberty to say, well, it didn't really say I had to follow up with the patient, or it didn't really say that I had to tell the patient that they were incorrect in using that slur against that provider. And it really does go into some specifics in like what we expect of behaviors from patients, from employees, whoever it is in a situation. So I'm hoping that, you know, we don't have to use this policy very often, obviously, but I really, really do appreciate, as a Black female physician, that it's there so that I can also feel that when I'm put in a really awkward situation, it's not just Dr. Shabuale is saying that this patient is making her uncomfortable, but there are steps to say, okay, let's acknowledge this, let's figure out what's going on, and let's move forward in the best way for both people, the patient and the provider.
Terrific. And that was not only a fabulous description of how we went about that, but I still, and thank you for sharing that now, because it just, I rolled through in my mind what we went through to get it into place, right, and that kind of a thing. Right. And to this day, I feel so good about that, because right, it showed that we weren't just talk, right, that we were going to exactly take some actions. And it was also to send a message out to our entire Northern Light workforce that this is what we stand for. It wasn't just for someone to use in the event that something happens like that. It was a message. So thank you. You described that perfectly. Thank you. Mia, you've done some work on the Gender Identity Task Force. Would you walk us through some of that?
Yes, absolutely. So the best part of my job and patient experience is I have the luxury of talking to our patients, talking to our communities, and hearing about their experiences that they get receiving care. What I learned through some of those conversations is that we had some work to do as far as using patients' preferred name and their correct gender identity. And what I learned beyond just our need to do a better job with acknowledging it was the pain that happens when we fail. So the pain that occurs with that patient when we fail to recognize what their preferred name is or what gender they identify with. And it's very damaging. So that's been a very big eye-opener through this work. What we know is that about 28% of transgender and gender diverse people, they've postponed medical care when they needed it because of discrimination or disrespect that they have seen firsthand. And that's a number that we don't want. That's not keeping our communities healthy and safe. So what we've been doing is we've developed a fairly large task force that's really dove into this and looking at all the different avenues that we have to address. So first and foremost, we have some education coming that's really working on, you know, the language, the terminology, and the importance of using it. The importance of why is it such a big deal to use those pronouns and that preferred name. We've also worked on capturing this information in our electronic medical record and making sure that it flows to other parts of the medical record as well. So that way when the patient presents and they are being seen, that we're using their correct name and not a dead name that will create trauma for them. So there's been a lot that we've done so far. We've updated our patient wristbands for the inpatient unit, demographic bars, worked on our patient letters. So when we're sending them appointment reminders at home, we're using the correct name on those letters and our registration forms. So it's been a robust group that's been working really hard to make sure that we get this right and that we are listening to our patients and our communities, and we're hearing their feedback and we're doing something about it, which is really exciting.
Thank you, Mia. It's so great to hear that kind of positive feedback, and I receive letters in my office from families and patients who are expressing their gratitude for that kind of sensitivity. That's what it is, right? It's caring. It's love.
So, that's what it's all about.
Yep. So thank you. I think it would also serve us very well to remember that DEI is not just occurring at an overarching organizational level, but there's a lot of great work happening at each member organization, too, and so many examples of leaders and individuals from all over the state that are part of Northern Light Health that are rising and making contributions to a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive culture of our organization. And I will just go ahead and say it. It always seems, though, like Mercy is leading the way, and we've all learned from Mercy, and there are great things at Mercy for so many reasons. Melissa, perhaps you could shed some light on some of your initiatives, projects at Northern Light Mercy.
Absolutely. So, you know, in 2019, Charlie Therrien, president at Mercy, held listening sessions with our staff, really focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And from there, we learned that our employees of color, many of them New Mainers, did not view Mercy as a place of opportunity. They viewed it as a wonderful community, often entered in low-wage roles, and then did not see, frankly, career advancement in a lot of clear ways. Really took that as a call to action, and we have launched what I would describe as a high-intensity language acquisition program on site. So we have ESL teacher who provides direct instruction 4 days a week at Mercy. We have app-based learning that adds to that level. You know, what we know from working very closely with the New Mainer community is access to that language learning, digital literacy skills is fractured and often out of reach. So we're seeking to really, you know, address that so people have the ability to advance quickly. It is remarkable to see every day at 3 o'clock at Mercy Hospital, a group of wonderful longtime employees gather with a teacher. They have clear masks on so they can see their pronunciation, and it's amazing to watch how quickly people are progressing. We did pre-tests, we'll do post-tests, and then we are helping many of these employees, our housekeepers. We're helping them transition into registered apprenticeships so they can become medical assistants, CNAs, or, you know, truly have any career at Mercy that they want. The beauty of the New Mainer population in Greater Portland is we have large numbers who have recently arrived from the Congo and Angola, and they are highly educated and really just waiting for us to solve that gap of language acquisition. And, you know, as Northern Light Mercy, we're committed to really be the first high-intensity program in Southern Maine and really help people advance quickly. So excited to watch where this goes. We have just in the last month or so watching really lots of new hires that are from all over the world. I think there has been a different level of energy and commitment, and I would attribute it to this council and Tim's leadership to really have us continue to look for opportunities. We also are working with a large group of providers in Southern Maine to provide on-site healthcare at hotels where people are being housed as they come into the city. Lots of good work. You know, the future is bright as we continue to understand how to support what I would see as an incredible opportunity for workforce development and continued diversification of Northern Light Health. The potential and the beauty is amazing to watch.
Thank you, Melissa. Before we start to wrap up, I just want to make sure I always offer to our guests, if there's anything else you would like to touch base on or express. So I'll pause for a second to see if anyone would like to add anything.
Sure. I'd love to add some of the work that we're doing with asking patients their opinions on how we're doing with recognizing their diversity and recognizing their religious beliefs with our patient experience surveys. So that's something we started doing this year, which is a great way for us to do a real touch base on how was their experience of care and how are we doing. So just another example of how we're asking those hard questions and we're listening and we're ready to take action on it.
Thank you, Mia. That's great. And for a little background to our listeners, there are actually questions that are very specific to our sensitivity in providing care to the individuals and their individuality. We were one of, last time I checked, when we started this past year, we were only one of five health systems in the United States that were using that kind of correlation. So we do take a very close look at that. Thanks for pointing that out. Thank you all so much. This has been very informative, but more than that, enjoyable, and I'm very grateful for all of you and what you've expressed. Before we conclude, I would like to share two further thoughts, just brief thoughts. But, you know, I was asked recently, this is actually a town meeting we had. We had about 600 colleagues on that call just yesterday. And I was asked how we can advance diversity, equity, and inclusion, which the questioner, I think, thought is great that we're doing it, but how do we do it without getting mixed up in that terrible word, politics? You know what? I answered it and I reflected upon it after that, obviously, because that's what I do. I think of my best answers like at 2 o'clock in the morning the next day. But I actually came up with the same answer, generally speaking, and that is that it's not politics to me, it's values, and it's respect, and it is embracing our imperfections, and it is also really good. I'm going to use a word that our listeners might not like that I don't use all the time, but it's really good business. And that is, if we can show that we are this welcoming and this sensitive, then job satisfaction is going to be better. And we're going to be more, you know, able to recruit people from away. And people won't think twice about coming to us for care. In fact, they'll seek us out for care for all the right reasons. It's not about politics. It's about respect and love. So that's number one. I feel better getting that off my chest. Secondly, and beautifully, we have opened our thinking to explore now gender equity and inclusion. So lest one thinks, listeners, I'll start to close on this comment, lest one thinks that this is an exclusive focus on some for diversity, equity, and inclusion, is actually an inclusive focus for all. So thank you for joining me for this important discussion. Guests, thank you. And thank you to you, our podcast listeners, as well. Until next time, I'm Tim Dentry, encouraging you to listen and act and promote our culture of caring, diversity, and inclusion. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tim Talk. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to learn more about this subject, you can find additional information at northernlighthealth.org/podcast.